for that what inspires us. And over this summer period, we've asked our preachers to think about what their favourite Bible reading is, or if they have a life verse, and to talk about that. It comes from to preach from a place of passion. We like a bit of passion. That sounds wrong. You knew what I meant. You knew what I meant. So it's my turn. And I'm thinking, oh, what shall I talk about? Well, I had two potential things straight to my head. And a Bible story that has always inspired me is the story of blind Bartimaeus. I love that story. And the question that Jesus asks blind Bartimaeus, who was begging by the side of the road, he asks this very simple question: what do you want me to do for you? Which I think is a question that gets to the heart of everything. Jesus was really good at those questions. Love that question. I love the story of a person whose life is turned around by an encounter with Jesus, because our lives are always turned around by an encounter with Jesus. So I thought, oh, I could talk about that. And I could talk about also the story of the bleeding woman. I love that story where she reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garment and all of a sudden is healed. And both of those stories remind us that Jesus is never too busy with the crowd, with the multitudes, to take notice of the one. That's like a sermon in itself, wasn't it? I'm not talking about either of those. I'm preaching about one verse that inspires me. It's like just one verse of scripture today, because it's inspired me since I became a Christian. And because, frankly, I am a lovely minister, wouldn't you agree? Less enthusiastic than I was hoping for that. Because I'm a lovely minister, on your chairs, you have a little gift this morning to take home with you after the message today. They are related. With you on your chair is a 4 points leaflet. Ooh. And the 4 points are a simple way of sharing your faith to aid conversation. They're meant to be given away. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is about sharing our faith. These ones, these are very exciting. They have our church logo on and details of the service. So that's a good plug. So I have several. This one's a bit battered because it's in my purse. I have several in my bag, in the dog walking bag, alongside the poo bag and the kibble, other 4 points leaflets. I used to, in my previous car, have the 4 points emblazoned across my car. So wherever I went in West Kirby, there was an opportunity to have a conversation. And it would usually happen in Morrison's car park, where some random person would come up to me and go, "What's that on your car?" And I went, "Well, let me talk to you," with the pile of leaflets I have in my door of my car, "let me tell you." And when Paul had the car after me, less enthusiastic about the 4 points on the side of my car. So for a quick recap of what the 4 points are, the heart is God loves you. People need to know that God loves you. Isn't that good news? God loves you. Thank you, Colin. Okay. But we have sinned. I have sinned. The Bible talks about how sin causes a break in the relationship between us and God. We've just sung about that in those words of Amazing Grace, that before we meet Jesus and we are forgiven, we're wretches. What a great word. We're wretches. We need to recognize that we are sinners. But the good news is Jesus provides a way to deal with that sin, and he dies for us on the cross. He breaks down the barrier of sin between us and God. He takes our sin on himself. He takes the penalty of sin on his own shoulders and says, let me carry that for you. And the fourth little one on 4 points is a question mark. It's whether we agree with that, it's whether we follow that, and it's I need to decide to live for God. And each, there's a little explanation of each of those on the back of the 4 points. It's not a perfect way of explaining the gospel. There's more to the gospel than that, but it's a way, and it's helpful. And there's 4 points bracelets. I'm repping the brand this morning, aren't I? I could have worn my jumper or my T-shirt. If you want more leaflets, they're on the communion table. We've also got bracelets if you want one. So you're thinking, all right, that's all very well and good. I'll take that. I'll put it in my purse or my pocket, in my bag. And, you know, if I'm having a conversation, I might use that. Great, but what are you talking about, Louise? Get to the sermon. Well, what inspires me? So, the verse that I think has been my life verse, if I were ever going to have a tattoo, which I'm not, of a scripture verse, it would be this one. I'm not. Some of you are looking very worried. Nothing. You never know. I might have a midlife crisis and get one. But if I were ever to have one, it would be this. I don't know if you can see those words. I will read them out to you. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It comes from 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Does that sound like you? Stunned. Silence. Well, I had a conversation this week with a Christian from another church. Nobody here, you're off the hook in this story. With a Christian from another church who I met this week, and we were chatting. She was telling me that she had discovered that one of her best friends, a long-standing family friend, was a Christian. And they chatted about it, and they realized that neither of them knew that the other was a Christian. And she was surprised when I went, really? Oh, that's a bit unfortunate, isn't it? And she said, what do you mean? I went, well, doesn't that challenge you? Isn't that interesting? Odd thought. It would be like, I thought to myself, that nobody knew I was a mum. Or nobody knew I loved Gary Barlow. Have to get Gary in every sermon. It'd be like Mikey's not here, but nobody knowing that Mikey supports Everton. Has Mikey ever mentioned that? It'd be like no one knowing that Jim's an artist. We all know that. Nobody knowing that Colin's an architect. Nobody knowing that if you need a botanical illustration, you go to Jenny. Nobody knowing that you support Everton as well. I'll pray for you. It's like nobody knowing that Jimmy's from Scotland. We all know that. We all know that. I thought, isn't that interesting? That if you've been a friend for many years or a family member, and in that friendship you have no inkling whatsoever that both of you are Christians, something is amiss, I said to her. Not quite judgmentally. And she went, oh, you've made me think. Interesting. Do the people that you spend your time with know that you're a Christian? Would they be surprised that you're here in church this morning? Interesting. So I thought I'd like to talk about this verse, and particularly the who, what, when, why, and how of this verse. So the first is who. Who. And the who in this verse is you. That sounded very Victorian word then. Who? You. This verse says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. The hope that you have. Not the hope someone else has. It's what's made a difference to you. It's addressing the Christians that have hope in Jesus. Now, if Jesus has never done anything for you, if you have zero hope in the resurrection, zero experience of forgiveness and transformation or prayers being answered in the cross, zero hope of new beginnings, well, this verse isn't aimed at you. But I would like to suggest that that's nobody here in this room. But if you have hope, if you call yourself a Christian and Jesus is your Savior, it's a call to say so. When you're asked, it's not a call to go, it's when you're invited to share. And I think that's a call for all of us. Not all of us are called to be evangelists. Not all of us are called to be stand on street corners. Some people are. But we're all called to share our faith. It is not an optional extra of our faith. So also the who is those asking. You might be asked. And it might not be a question phrased as, Jane, will you tell me about what the blood of Jesus does? That might not come as that question. It might come as, what did you do this weekend? And you go to church, what happened in church this weekend? It might come as, I've noticed you're a bit different in how you deal with stress at work. Why? It could be, what are those strange symbols on your wrist? Can you explain that? It could be, I know you're a Christian. Can you tell me why you're a Christian and why you're not a Buddhist? It could be anything like that. After Debbie's funeral, I was invited to go into her work to help them grieve, was the task. And I was invited to share some of the thoughts that we'd shared at the funeral with her work colleagues. And I shared stuff that we'd talked about with the family about how Debbie knew that heaven was her home that she was heading to and the hope that she had in Jesus as her Savior. And one person said, can you tell us more about that? I could hear Debbie laughing. And so that's an opportunity. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. So I shared the gospel with a group of vets in the vet surgery. I might not have done it perfectly, but it was an honest and gentle and respectful answer to the question I was asked. I found that people are way more interested in the things that we're passionate about than we think they are, especially our relationship with God. I think people are more interested in faith than we're led to believe in our world. They may be receptive to a conversation, It could be that they've had a number of different conversations and yours is just one more adding to a little step towards the cross. So that's the who. What's the what? Always be prepared to give an answer. Some verses of scripture say, or a defense for the hope that you have. In the context of 1 Peter, this was written to believers who were facing persecution. And this, always be prepared to give a defense, meant that believers were charged to do just that in courts, when they were imprisoned, when they were told to get ready to answer objectors, when they were charged by the Roman state with atheism and ordered to recant their faith, this was the challenge before them, to be ready to speak of what was important to them. Now, we don't have that context. We at the moment are relatively free to be Christians in peace. We may be belittled and misunderstood. At the moment, I don't believe in this country we are persecuted. We may be soon. But we know that brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world are persecuted. We're asked to give an answer. So give the one you have, the one that makes sense to you. It may not be a perfectly thought through answer, tied up in a neat theological bow. You know, if somebody asks you over coffee tomorrow at work, why does God allow suffering? Well, that is a big question. And you might not have a fully thought through response to that. Talk about a God who has walked through your suffering with you. Because you know that to be true. Speak of hope. Because I think that's contagious. When people see in you hope, people want to know more. I'm convinced of it. That is attractive. So what has Jesus done that gives you hope? If you are asked, say so. So what's the when? Always be prepared. Now, are you always prepared for anything? I am never prepared. We're going on holiday tomorrow. Is a single thing prepared? No, not a single thing. Nothing is packed. Nothing is done. It'll happen tomorrow. On any given trip or holiday, I will always forget something vitally important. I'm quite well known for it. I will always pack the wrong shoes for any given occasion. We're going hiking, I will bring stilettos. It's not good. On our very first holiday after our honeymoon, Paul gave me a rookie mistake of allowing me to pack his clothes. He's never allowed me to do it again. We went to the Amalfi Coast in the hottest weather. I packed him jumpers, no t-shirts or shorts. It was a very expensive holiday. He's never asked me to do it again. Winner, winner. Chicken dinner. It wasn't deliberate. I was just disorganized. It's a good job he's not here this morning because he'd be nodding. You're useless at packing. We are to be ready. But in order to be ready, you need to be prepared. So that question on why does God allow suffering, if the idea of somebody asking you that question strikes fear into your heart, then why don't you spend some time reading up on that? Open up scripture, see what it says. Talk in your fellowship group about that. Pray about it. See what other people think. Share your thoughts with one another. That's what discipleship looks like. And always be prepared also means, I think, having spiritual eyes and ears to be open to those conversations that people have, those questions. I can think of plenty of times when I was asked what was a spiritual question, but I didn't see it because I wasn't ready or prepared for it. But can I also think of times when I'd been praying for someone and they ask me a question, the Holy Spirit gives me a nudge, and then you can go, why are you asking me that particular question? And then that opens up a better conversation. So we need to be always prepared and ready. Good luck with that one. Why? Our verse started with, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. We try and have an answer for the hope that we have as a way of honoring Christ as Lord. We try and have a defense of our faith in order to bring others closer to Jesus, because it matters. We try and find answers that make sense as we learn and grow as disciples of Christ, that help us have a biblical worldview, that help us have foundations in Scripture that guide our lives. How? We're told to share our faith with gentleness and respect. Let me tell you a time when I did not do that. At university, I was in the Christian Union. This is many years ago because I'm very old. And I was the evangelism secretary for our Christian Union, and we were having a missions week. And in missions week, I was invited to speak to the National Secular Society Club at the University of Humberside. It did not go well. In fact, it was a bit of an unmitigated disaster, because gentleness and respect was not on my agenda. And it wasn't on theirs either. To be fair, we were all up for an argument. And so nobody won. Nobody won respect for one another. Nobody won understanding. Nobody won an argument. And nobody was won for Jesus. And I've reflected on that a lot over the years. I think it's really important that we are able to articulate our faith, to be able to give an answer for the hope that we have. But I'm also equally sure that we can't argue people into the kingdom. People meet Jesus under conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get in the way as the church in doing that, because sometimes the last thing we've done is the gentleness and respect bit. And we've beaten people over the heads with our big black Bibles. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect, because the people that we're having conversations with, we love, and God loves even more. We need to recognize in our conversations with people that people are on a spiritual journey. You may have seen something like this before. It's the Engels scale. Ooh, a bit of, we love a picture. The Engels scale is the steps that people take to Christ. And the orange bit at number 10 is the decision to become a Christian. Notice there's loads before that bit. There's an understanding about Jesus. There's investigating Jesus. There's contact with Christians. So the conversations that we have may be helping people just get a little bit closer
to an awareness of who Jesus is. You know, we're not expecting that every conversation we have in Morrison's car park means that people are kneeling down going, I need to be saved. That would be awesome. I would not complain about that. But it might just be helping people nudge with the help of the Holy Spirit a little bit closer to Jesus. Statistics say that it takes something like between 6 and 9 deep conversations with people for them to move up to number 10 and accepting Jesus as Savior. Obviously, it's not always like that. Everybody has a different story. Our conversations need to show gentleness and respect, because you don't know where people are on that list. You don't know where they are. You don't know what experience of church or Jesus they've had before. So, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So, what is the hope that is in us? That God the Father, out of his grace, out of his love, gives Jesus, his Son, to bridge the gap that separates us from him. That Jesus dies, taking all that rubbish and all that past and all that baggage and all that sin, all our regrets on his shoulders, the stuff that makes us dirty before God. And he takes all of that from us and places it on himself so that we can be clean before God, even though he is perfect and spotless. And because of that, we can be forgiven. We can begin again. We're given a new identity as children of God. We have a new family and a new future and a place called home in heaven. And we get to share in the victory over death because of the resurrection of Jesus. Lots of us here have that hope. But if you're here and you don't know that hope for yourself, if you're watching online and you don't know that hope for yourself, I'd love to give you a booklet. I'd love to tell you more. If you're watching online and you want to know more, get in touch. We'd be delighted to share this hope that we have. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we have hope in you. Hope that is certain and steadfast, hope that circumstances cannot take away. And we praise you for what you have done on the cross. Would you help us, Lord, to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have? Would you help us with spiritual eyes, have conversations with the people that we love that don't yet know you as Lord and Saviour? Would you help us have those conversations? Holy Spirit conversations infused with gentleness and respect. And may all our conversations and all our living bring glory to you, we pray. Amen.